I'll just let my listeners know I'm talking to Leon Weinstein. He's got a book that is an adventure story. It's sort of a it's a parallel to some classic writings, I think. And again, I haven't gone through the book. I've been reading about it. We've heard the word utopia and Atlantis and some other things where somebody was trying to convey this idea that the world would be better if we'd restructure everything. Well, after the experiments have been tried, Leon Weinstein has observed the fruit thereof and has written his own epic. So it's called Looking for Hugh, the Capitalist Guidebook. This, and again, if you're tuning in just now, Leon Weinstein was born in Russia, raised in Russia. Of course, eventually, through a few steps, emigrated to the United States and is a watchman on the wall trying to let people know now what you're headed for if we don't stop, wake up, and take responsibility for our own fate. You made a comment about this in a socialist statist where the people would like to have the state take control and the state takes control. You have what is what we hear the term censorship, where you have in the power of the sword shutting people up through various means. In the capitalist mechanism of society that historically has been a part of American economic activity and things like that, and freedom, and part of freedom, is there something called censure, S-U-R-E, where you and I, if we don't like what's happening, we turn it off. And we don't strong arm a supporter and say, hey, we're all going to parade in front of your grocery store if you put a commercial on this guy's radio station. What we do, we turn it off. And of course, we have the freedom to talk to our sponsors, but rather than to, we don't go out, act like we're a bunch of mafia with sticks and beat in doors to try to basically threaten people to be quiet. So there's something called censure in a free society. It's censure. It's you just turning the channel. In Soviet, Stalinist, statist, China, and now coming to America, we see some censorship. And of course, when you hear the term hate speech, hate crimes, sometimes that has something to do with it. So, Leon, is there anything else you wanted to say on that before we press on to my next question?
Yes. Let me give you one example of what you said, but from very kind of strange and unusual angle. I have a family in Israel in a place called Mevaseret Zion. This is the age of the Greater Jerusalem. And Mevaseret is on one side of the hill and an Arab village called Abu Ghosh on the other side. So this Abu Ghosh is famous for their hummus. It's a very famous food from Middle East. And the villagers leave of the restaurants they built to accommodate thousands of people from Jerusalem coming every day to eat and take out.
Mm-hmm.
Starts Intifada some years ago, Arabs killing Jews, throwing stones, and people go less to the restaurants and not taking out food from Abu Ghosh as they used to. The elders of Abu Ghosh sit down and think how to protect their livelihood. From this day on, for all the years of Intifada, on a road from Mevaseret Zion to Abu Ghosh, it's about 3 miles, every couple of hundreds of yards, they placed a chair. In those chairs, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, were seated Arabs from Abu Ghosh facing the Arab side of the hill with rifles in their hands. They were ready to shoot anyone who would interfere with their business. They knew exactly where the interference might come from and were ready to shoot nevertheless. There was no one single incident in Abu Ghosh during all years of Intifada. Israelis started coming even more often because Abu Ghosh was the safest place in Israel to eat great food and take families on weekend. So I say, viva capitalism.
Ah, okay. And now I saw something on your website that you said greed is good. And sometimes people are facetious with that. In fact, I'm looking at it right now. I see a comment here. It says, what can happen to America if Obama builds socialism here? I'm just going to leave that and not go further in some of the things that I'm reading. What can happen? What do you see happening to America? What do you foresee in the near future? And what do you think it's going to take to change the flow?
I worked for many, many years with children and youth. I wrote plays, I wrote stories for children, I stage theater shows, TV programs, and so on and so on. So I'm a specialist in this area, although part of my time I was trying to do some political works, like because I cannot sit on my behind and wait until things will happen. I believe that my great-grandparents did that, and the result was 75 years of communism in the Soviet Union. So I am looking at that from my point, and I see that the biggest challenge the United States has right now is the re-education of the youth. Maybe the most urgent problem is to re-elect representatives a year from now, in November of 2010. But the second urgent problem is to influence, to re-educate to our youth that was stolen from us by liberals. Millions of Americans, I believe, watch with horror the results of the liberal brainwashing of their kids by schools, colleges, and media, and do not know how to bring their delusions children back to reality. You know, I have a lot of friends who sent their children, let's say, to Berkeley, and in 1 year they're saying we're receiving monsters, not children. So I used to had an educational theater in Israel for many years. You do not argue with kids. They're not convinced by numbers, but you can tell them stories that trigger their imagination and pushes them to think about issues.
That's right.
Make their choices, choose sides. And the book that you mentioned that I recently wrote, Looking for Hugh, the Capitalist Guidebook, does exactly that. It makes teenagers, college students, and young adults think about subjects they are normally not thinking about, outside of their sphere of interest. They make their own conclusions while reading the book that would surprise their liberal teachers. And the youngsters, they have a ability to intuitively choose the right side. So there is a fight goes in every family, and the adults and the families shall not surrender. Take charge, be a parent again. You can win your kids back. Get this book, either read it together with the children, teenagers, if they're appropriate ages, read first, and then, while they're reading, talk to them about the stories, about the plot of the book, about who is right and who is wrong and why. This is not that hard. You can do that. Save your misguided kids from themselves, from the corrosive socialist utopia they are fed now.
Well, I'm getting it. I didn't have time to get it prior to this, or wherewithal to go get it in my crazy schedule. I'm going to make a point of getting Looking for Hugh. That's the adventure, Looking for Hugh, and it's the capitalist guidebook. So if you want to have a catchy phrase, something to remember, Looking for Hugh, the capitalist guidebook. Of course, it's going to be on my podcast. This whole discussion is going to be playable perpetually on our podcast at faithfreedoms.org. I'm talking to Leon Weinstein. Leon Weinstein. This is important things. What if you could tell, you're not Chicken Little saying the sky is falling. I mean, you're somebody who's been there, who's watched it happen, and when you came and escaped from that oppressive regime, that oppressive system, looking for that bright spot, that hope, that place of hope, America, and you came here, and then suddenly you see the same beast rearing its ugly head. It seems to me it was very clear, easy for you to distinguish it, to discern it. Now, I'm really curious about this list of folks in the Jewish community. I guess it was Jews for Obama was the website that I got it off of, and yeswecan.org republished it. There was a slew of very notable Jewish folks that are leaders in various communities and political parties and things like that, that are just embracing what Mr. Obama is doing. Can you, from a man who's from that Jewish heritage and culture and the socialist culture, can you explain what that group is doing?
The truth is no.
No.
Very short explanation. It's one of the questions that we constantly discuss with my friends who, again, as I said, came from the countries that experienced socialism or communism. We cannot understand that, but this is truth, and we try to talk to some of the people, and they're all emotional. They do not understand when you give them facts, that you explain to them what you saw, that you show them what happened here. For example, I can give you one example that I tried to explain, to several of those people who were for Obama, yes, we can, et cetera, they couldn't comprehend it. My grandfather had a four-bedroom apartment in St. Petersburg when the revolution started, Russian revolution. Nothing much, you will say, but he was considered rich by those who lived in outskirts of the city, and after socialists promised the population equality and homes to each, part of his apartment was expropriated from him. Expropriated means that the local representative of the Socialist Party came over and ordered to squeeze my grandfather's family into one room and moved four additional families of total strangers into his apartment. Now, on top of four people who live there, additional 21 people were using the same kitchen, one bath, one toilet. Let me repeat, one bath, one kitchen, one toilet for 25 people. Socialists delivered what they promised. Each family had only one room, but they had their own room and were equal. I bet Americans would love to be squeezed this way and let total strangers to share their apartments. If you don't want it, go out and talk to your neighbors and friends and about what you do not like. Do not wait until it's too late. Examples like this, stories like that did nothing. You know, people believe this is more than, I don't know, it's like believing in God, believing in Messiah, but it's not, he's not Messiah, he's not God. That's amazing.
How equal were the members of the Politburo?
Yep.
How, I mean, you know, I don't know, I don't have statistics on that. How equal were they?
One of the best writers of the 20th century, George, always said, everyone will be equal, but some will be a little bit more equal than others.
So the folks that were in the singing the party line, the what we would call, they use the term elite. Essentially, the guys that haven't got it all figured out for everybody are going to have their position that's justified. They have a greater need, right? They have a greater need, so of course they get a greater portion of the resource.
In the Soviet Union or under socialism, people do not own things, but they use things. If you manage something, if you're on top of something, you can use whatever you want. Who will tell you not to? So the idea is to be good to the government, to leak whatever places they would like you to leak, and they will allow you to use even much more than, you know, the rich people can afford.
As he was talking there, I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking, it's kind of like a religion thing, a hierarchy. If you're the one who's, in our case, he said, if you're using things, if you're managing things, if you're on top of things, you get more stuff. That's what we're seeing right now. There's a group, you always heard the term elite, and you wonder, what are these elite they're talking about? They're talking about folks who are currently in power as an example, and what they're doing is they're telling everybody, you must take care of your brother. You are your brother's keeper. I wish I could go into the details where they're getting that one. That's an interesting, weird thing about taking something out of context. But they're saying, you are your brother's keeper. And so we who are managing you and everybody, all our human resources, are going to direct each of you, the human resource, and what you're going to do so that we can take care of our brother. And I'll just give you a little information. I dare you to look up, go into a search on the internet, find out how much charitable contributions some of the folks gave who are currently in office. And then even when they began to start squeaking out a little bit as they became more politically powerful, look at the minor percentage of their income they're giving, and look who they were giving it to, organizations that essentially would help them continue their power base. Folks, important stuff. Get your friends to keep tuning in. Leon Weinstein coming back here on 104.3 FM. David Allen Carmichael, this is my Faith and Freedom Show. You can check me out on the web at faithfreedoms.org, and we'll be back. You're listening to a pre-recorded recording of Leon Weinstein, Fabulous Information. I'm David Allen Carmichael. We're going to be coming back next week, 3 to 5 p.m. Don't hesitate to tune in to this Faith and Freedom Show, where we're going to give you some substantive talk radio.